You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Good morning, and it is a good morning here in beautiful downtown Palm City, where the sun is shining on us.
Yes.
And it's not raining, that liquid sunshine that we came to Florida for, actually, but we know that it will, thank God, because we need it. I'm David Francoeur. I'm a lot of things, all
yes.
of them good. Happy to be here, to be your producer, your whatever, host, and I have a co-host. We actually have two, but one is not feeling well, so he had to stay home. That's Ed Skiba.
We miss you, Ed. I know you're listening.
We do. And we just say, Lord, bless our brother Ed and restore him
yes.
to ultimate good health. And we know that he will. Ann Limhoko.
Good morning.
Ann, I got to tell you, I appreciate your being with us, your faithfulness.
Mm.
I think it's been, 3 years since
I can't even remember.
We met.
Somebody asked me how long I've been doing this.
You know, it was, I'll tell you when. I'll tell you exactly when it
okay.
was. It was... You came in for tickets to the, it was the National Day of Prayer, the first time Jonathan Kahn was with us.
Yes.
So that was 4 years ago. Well,
has
it's coming
it
up
years?
On 4 years
wow.
in May.
Wow.
Because he
Praise
came three
God.
Times in a row, and
yeah.
he won't be with us this year. But
yeah.
But so you came in for tickets. We started talking.
Yes.
You told me that you had just left 20-some years of working with an Illinois congresswoman, a federal
mm-hmm.
congresswoman.
Yep.
And that you left because they wouldn't let you take the religious exemption for
they had me take
COVID.
A religious exemption, and then they reneged and told
they reneged.
Me I had to get the shot or I would lose my job. And I was like, God's telling me this.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no, it's easy. I have to leave. And it's okay because coming here was such a blessing to Florida.
Well, many have been blessed, including us, Anne,
yeah,
and I'm thankful
God.
You stuck with us. So
and we bonded right away, too.
Immediately, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Some similarities in our history. Plus, Chicago was a touch point.
Yep.
For
exactly.
me, 3 years in seminary in Evanston.
Yep. Where I went to grad school. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Northwestern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Interesting times. But this is we'll have to have a program just to talk about
oh,
our
no, no,
experiences
no more about
in Chicago. and everybody's thawing out by now up there,
yeah.
I think, after all this horrible winter.
They really need the thawing out.
The last
so cold
two,
over there.
The last, I've said this before, but most people listening don't remember, I'm sure. But the last two Christmases, I was in seminary up there in Christmas morning. And I had to know the temp because I worked in a church
uh-huh.
in Park Ridge, which is about 15 miles
yep.
away. And I just wanted to know the temp, you know, see what I was facing, you know, how long I have to let the engine run in the car.
Yep.
This was Christmas morning. It was 82 below.
Yep.
In Chicago.
With the wind chill.
With the wind chill.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
my
your eyelashes you know? Freeze. And
I mean,
yeah.
if you're at 2 minutes, unexposed flesh will freeze.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So why people still want to live there, I have no idea, but it's okay. It's your business. You know, but anyway, back to the subject. We have a really wonderful program for you today, and
yes.
especially now, listen up, you're a pastor in a church. And particularly if you've had growth in your ministry over the last few years, and if you yourself are wondering what's happened to your finances and why the money isn't there, even though you thought it would be, and you look at your income streams and you say, there should be more money. And we have with us today Soren and Matthew Spears. And Soren is the founder of Visions Alliance, a tremendous ministry, a tremendous endeavor that's a true blessing to people that need financial guidance. And Matthew is the senior partner of Visions Alliance and mm-hmm. also the son of Soren. So I love the family. I love the family business
yeah,
stuff.
Me
you know?
Too. Great. Me too.
Great. Yeah.
And because you're all part of the family of God, and we'll be getting into that in a minute. But so we're going to be hearing about... a really effective work for churches and parachurch ministries, particularly, although they work in the secular realm too.
Mm-hmm.
With the and the first time I encountered the phrase fractional CFO, chief financial officer. We're going to be talking about that. So anyway, welcome, Soren and Matthew, and glad to have you back with us here on the air.
Thank you.
We're
going to
spend an hour together.
Thank you so much.
And God's going to enable you to share depth, and the listeners, your role is to listen today, because many of you are going to be blessed, and you're going to say, wow, I need to talk to these people, and we're going to give you contact information. But before we talk about Visions Alliance, share your God story with us. We start with you, Soren.
I grew up in Europe, in Denmark, mm-hmm. and I was... I was obviously baptized and christening as a young child, and also grew up as a Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the confirmation part at the age around 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
But as you probably all know, that the Christ, kingdom...
Yeah.
Especially in Scandinavia and Northern Europe, it's not mm-hmm. very strong. It's based a lot on tradition,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but not a lot of practice. It's not the Christ that we know now that I knew then.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a, you got to learn this, you got to learn that, and off you go. So I came to America and met my wife in the late 80s, who has mm-hmm. been Christian her whole life, mm-hmm. very strong Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I really saw the light. I really came to Christ, and I really grown like tremendously over the last many years, and gotten grown very, very close to Christ, and a very strong Christian.
Amen.
I give my testimony to people.
Mm-hmm.
I bring people to Christ, so I feel like I'm really grown, but not like some people just flip a switch and then suddenly been a growth mm-hmm. for me over the last 20, 30 years. So.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Really a part of most of the testimonies. That mine the same.
Same, yes.
Yeah, I met in 1976. I said, "Come into my life, Jesus," for the first time, and then since then, over 50 years, we've been working on tightening some bolts.
Exactly.
Just because I'm human, and he knew that when he got into.
Yeah, exactly.
We got together.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, and Matthew, what's your story, brother?
Yeah. So, as kind of like my father mentioned, obviously with both of my parents being Christian. Going to church, I grew up in the church, and actually grew up going to Morningside Church here in the Port St. Lucie area.
Yeah.
Growing up, I used to be in the youth band, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Anointed congregation.
Yeah.
Anointed.
They bring in good concerts, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Morningside.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like I said, was in the youth band, all the good stuff growing up. For me, I've had kind of similar to what you guys said towards the end there, was obviously saved from a very young age. My mom talks about it quite a bit, just sitting there together where she, told my sister and myself about Jesus as we were growing up.
Aww.
And, as they always say, I work super hard so that my children can give a quote unquote boring testimony. Maybe they went to church every single Sunday and everything like there. So, went on the mission trips and everything. But I've always found kind of similar to what you had just mentioned there was there are certain times where, you'll come across something in life and God's trying to get your attention a little bit more and just kind of pulls you right back. And I would say probably over the last couple of years, I've mm-hmm. gotten much, much stronger and more. Seeking Christ and seeking my relationship with God. I actually had a bit of a personal project over the last few years where I was doing some construction, building a nice small commercial property over on the west coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so challenging. Everybody that was around me just said, there's no other explanation other than something's coming after you for trying to get this finished. I basically got to one point where there was just nothing else to do but start praying. And then all of a sudden, just things started lining up.
Wow.
That just had absolutely no explanation.
Wow.
So it just kind of, just things like that across my life that I've just had where it's just God's kind of reminding you, hey, come on back.
Yep.
And I think I started that with, at one point, I couldn't think of anything but to open up the book of Job. I was like, this is the only person I can relate to right now because there's so many challenges going on.
I dig that. But that's when you're a Christ follower, when you're in the Spirit. God wants, the devil doesn't like that. So we have the spiritual warfare lightning, which is in the world, and we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in it. So we got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm going to, as a little segue to get you deeper into the Visions Alliance. You said something about so your kids could have a boring testimony. Now, I got to tell you, after I met Jesus, it wasn't long he got me in prison ministry.
Oh, wow.
I'd never done prison. I never had a speeding ticket. I never did anything like that. But the Lord got me connected to a prison ministry and in Orlando. I was working in living in Lakeland at the time. So I got a chance to really meet some interesting people. You know, mm-hmm. some knew the Lord, some didn't. Those that didn't were still a little scary. But I got into prisons. I was, for a while, I was a chaplain, chaplain's aide. I was still a lay person. I hadn't been ordained.
Wow.
But in Avon Park Correctional in Central Florida. But in all the stories I've heard, all the people that I met and ministered to and with, I have to say, be thankful for the boring testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot, all these people, you know, the murders, the stealing, the raping, the drugs, the whatever got them into, these are some pretty bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, their testimony was, yes, powerful.
Yeah.
Totally powerful, kind of like Paul's, you know, on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. He had to realize, I'm trying to kill Christians, you know.
Yeah.
And witness to that, testify that. And that's all great when you hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what God does. I have a very, it's not a testimony. I didn't do any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still human. I still made mistakes. I was still a sinner. And, you know, when you tell your testimony, the Spirit of God moves in the hearer's life to excite them about whatever story you tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So please, if you think you want to spice up your testimony by committing a little crime, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Wrong direction.
But now, and I want to, we talk about spiritual warfare, and having been a pastor for over 40 years, and in a lot of churches, and every church, you've got financial issues. I don't care what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that, it seems to me that as a pastor, a lot of the spiritual warfare that I experienced had to do with church finances in one avenue or another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I'm just going to throw that out there because I want you to share the vision of Visions Alliance.
Yeah.
And how did you come to that? I know it was God in it.
Mm-hmm.
When anyone looks on your website and sees what you talk about, the ministry, the mission of Vision Alliance, they can't help but see the hand of God in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Holy Spirit crafted. It's anointed. And I say that because that people need to know that. Mm-hmm. But tell us how it got started.
It started when I kind of decided I was going to retire. I didn't want to do what I was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in finance for at least the last 30-some years.
Okay.
In a private club industry. And I was like, no, I just want to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I had so much information over all these years, and I saw companies, clubs, churches, religious organizations, schools, private schools, Christian schools, struggling, trying to make sense of what's happening, this exponential growth that we've seen within our ministry, is anybody really kind of keeping their eye on the ball, meaning the finances?
Yeah.
And my son-in-law came to me and says, hey, can you maybe help out, just take a look? There's some things, nothing bad, just, you know, we need some, a little bit of fine-tuning. And that's how I got involved in directly with the church. And what I realized when I got involved with this is that this was not just a one church problem or issue. Basically, a church grew very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They lost which I call clarity, meaning what's going on. The senior pastor was making some decisions that was based on wrong information. And not the wrong decisions, but it was decisions made on the wrong information.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
helped give them clarity and bring clarity to them. And we saw a lot of smaller churches around that are facing the exact same problem. Start as a small little church. Young lady or young man is the one that's taking care of all the finances.
Mm-hmm.
The church grows. Before you know it, they have a private school or a Christian school. They start with maybe a kindergarten or preschool. Before you know it, they have up to high school. And before you're talking, you know, a $100,000 organization or a couple of $100,000 now is a multi-million dollar organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of these churches and schools seem to not see that a problem until there's a problem and a major problem.
Yeah.
It could be the church we work with, everything was fine. Nobody did anything they weren't supposed to. But you hear stories about, you know, people running off with a bunch of money. Nobody knew. Mm-hmm. Everybody's, you know, spending left and right. They think they're spending for the right reasons, for the right purpose, but it doesn't necessarily meet mm-hmm. with the authority and the segregation of duties mm-hmm. and the approvals that should be in place
yeah.
before you start making these decisions. So we felt like some of the, I would call it best practice for finance and accounting, should be inserted into the church. It doesn't matter how big the organization is.
Absolutely.
If it's right. a huge organization, you need a little more tighter controls and different things. If it's a smaller organization, you still have some of the same tools, some of the same, we call SOP, standard operating procedures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to have internal controls when you collect the money on a Sunday.
Yeah.
What happens to the money? Mm-hmm. Where does the cash go? Who's mm-hmm. counting the cash? What happens when it goes into the bank? Who decides what to spend it on? Some of these churches has grown over time. Mm-hmm. Have now they have large staffs. How do you make sure that the staff's treated the way they're supposed to?
Mm.
So you don't have the United States government through the mm. Department of Labor or somebody mm. else
yeah.
walk in and say, hold it here, what's going on?
Yeah.
We had a church we talked to out of Atlanta, and we were talking to this gentleman, and somehow it came up that he says, oh, all my employees are 1099s. We're like, what do you mean 1099s?
Contractors, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you mean like plumber? No, these are employees. I said, well, you can't have employees that are 1099s. That's against the law.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't know that. I said, how many you got? I thought he said we had like 35 employees. I said, my advice to you, you got to change that. But those, he just didn't know. So we mm-hmm. felt as strong, and our ministry is to help.
Yeah.
And we're not here to point at anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We haven't encountered anybody that did something they weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard horror stories about it, but not from churches.
Mm.
We were just talking to Jonathan about another, an HOA. I'm sure it was in a newspaper. This lady was the accountant and bookkeeper for an HOA.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out she was doing plastic surgery for herself. I mean, she stole, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those stories out there.
Yeah.
We had a story a couple of weeks ago that actually Matthew was talking to a head of an organization. It was a private club up in a little further north.
Mm-hmm.
And the person in charge of the money had gotten an email from the leader of the organizations to wire mm-hmm. him or wire $200,000 to somebody.
Oh, mm-hmm. it's a
scam. The person did not check, didn't call the GM and said, hey,
mm-hmm. yeah.
was this used? No, it was obviously a phishing email.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and they lost the money.
Yeah.
So some of these controls, we just feel that wouldn't it be nice if you are running a church and a religious organization that you as a senior pastor –
mm-hmm.
don't have to worry about making sure mm-hmm. that everything is in good order.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in. We would sit down with you. We'd look at the organization, look at the church, and we're not coming in to like, we're going to show you how to do it and everybody got to leave. No. We come in and work with the people that are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try to give them again clarity mm-hmm. on where their finances are, what's going in, what's coming out, what are the controls in place. That's we feel like. And if that can further the kingdom
Amen.
Spread mm-hmm. the word instead of having any kind of waste or anything else,
yeah.
we feel like that's kind of our mission. So it's kind of our...
And most of the, when you're talking about, before we went on the air, I was speaking to the fact that if you have big ministries today that started out small,
mm-hmm.
and we're not just churches, but parachurch groups or just, standalone ministries, someone has got a vision, they begin pursuing it, God blesses them. And then slowly but surely they add on people because they can't do it all themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when you grow to a certain point, but you're still working on attitudes that when you were small.
Yeah.
That don't work
now. The thinking, small thinking. Enlarged, yeah.
And the infrastructures that you establish for money management
mm-hmm.
Really aren't adequate anymore.
Yeah.
Do you run into a lot of those situations?
Yes, very much so. It's basically, I give a perfect example, is we've seen churches that use a software solution called QuickBooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of QuickBooks.
Yeah.
It's grossly inadequate unless it's a small little mom and pop organization. And QuickBooks over time takes over and it just starts booking things to where you think it should go. And if you're not watching mm-hmm. where it's putting it, stuff's going where it doesn't belong.
Wow.
And that, again, gives you then the reports and the lack of clarity to the senior leadership of the church, the mm-hmm. elders or the councils or the main pastor,
mm-hmm.
or senior pastor, is that, we can do this, now we should do that, now we should do this. And we're like, no, let's look back, let's go back to basics,
yeah.
put systems in place
mm-hmm.
that, first of all, you get the right information. I keep using this reference to a movie. You ever heard of the movie A Sum of All Fears with Ben Affleck?
Yes.
And he's at the Pentagon, and he just wants to get the right information to the president so the president can make the right decision.
Yeah.
Still remember, all I want to do is give him the right information so he can make the right decision.
Yeah.
It comes to my mind when I think of a senior pastor. We just want to give you the right information and give you the clarity, and then you can make the decision. We're not going to make the decision. If you ask our opinion, we will give it to you, but we're not going to make it for you. But we're going to make sure that when you make the decision, it's based on the right information.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you guys are both chief financial officers, right? What's your training, the both of you guys?
So go ahead, Dad.
I've been a CFO, a chief financial for over 30-some years. Okay. I was with the PGA of America.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are into golf. You saw the Masters yesterday.
I come from a golf family. That's why when I was reading your biography.
PGA of America is, as you know, are the ones that are basically supply all the teachers and the teachers again to all of us. They run the club. So if you see a golf club or a country club, that's run and managed by a PGA member. Mm-hmm. They own the Ryder Cup, a name that's their event, the PGA Championships. Mm-hmm. But I was in charge of their finances for 17 years.
Wow.
Of their golf properties division. So in Port St. Lucie, the PGA Golf Club over here, that's where I worked out of. I was managed all their finances. Mm-hmm. And then then they had a facility in Louisville, Kentucky, Valhalla Golf Club, where we've had the Ryder Cup in 08 and multiple PGA championships. And then we also had some licensing. So I worked for them as their CFO or director of finance for their properties division for 17 years. And then I went and worked as a CFO of a large club on the west coast of Florida. We're in Bonita Springs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very 30-some million a year in business. Big, big club.
Wow.
1,300 members, three golf courses, two clubhouses, so very large. So that's what I've been doing for the last 30-plus years of my life.
Wow.
So
definitely that's qualified.
A little bit qualified. And
Matthew, what's your background, bro?
Mine is actually a little bit more on the financial analysis side. So I worked prior to going the accounting and the CFO route, worked for Enterprise, the corporate office of Enterprise out of St. Louis for a number of years, and then focusing on working with the different people in the field on their financials and also, you know, and we were the reason the department I worked for was the reason the rental cars were so high. So you guys can blame me for that. But
it's
basically the pricing, as a pricing and the financial analysis for each location. Yeah. And then actually when my father had stepped down from his position over at that larger club on the west coast of Florida, I ended up actually stepping in for a number of years. And then coincidentally enough, Visions Alliance started taking off, and I had a connection over there at the company and ended up working with the team. So
which is great, you know. I just sense you make a great team. You work together well.
Very well.
Complement each other, and that's what's important. Plus, you love each other, which is even better.
That's even better.
You know?
Absolutely.
Let me throw something out at you, because I want to try to touch on some of the significant areas where Visions Alliance can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things, and this is, I'm speaking of someone who may be listening in right now, is let's say you have, God has called you into a ministry that even though it's just in the very beginnings, you see that this ministry has not just national impact, but maybe world impact because of the area of your ministry just coming into its own, really. The focal point of your ministry it's been in the news for a long time, and now it's really growing, and you personally have a uniqueness about who you are and what you do for the Lord. And the message is something just now God wants to have spoken and to bring people that need to hear that into the influence of your ministry. So the ministry is perched on the brink of getting really big. Mm-hmm. And some of that, of course, is going to be increase in income, because God's going to touch hearts of people that want to support that. Mm-hmm. So at this stage, where they're not really there, but they're heading in that direction, how would you counsel that person in terms of establishing good, solid financial practice now?
I think what we would do is we would love to meet with them. And it's not going to cost them anything. It's not like, and just kind of look at what their ambitions are.
Okay.
And I think if you're going to grow and you're on the verge of wanting to grow, let us help you establish the right foundation, meaning let's put the right processes and policies, procedures. I was a solution as far as systems, systems integration, so that you can grow. Yeah. You don't, you know, just don't do it on the back of a napkin for the first year, and then suddenly you're like, what's going on and what's happening? So, and if we build, we've done it before. We build a system out that can grow exponentially, but it's still built on a solid foundation before you get started. Okay. Because if you're the leader of the ministry, the last thing you want to do is have to worry about, can I cover payroll? Is my money there? Am I meeting all my licensing, regulatory, all that stuff I have to do? I don't want to do that. I want to just go out, spread the word, grow the ministry, and let somebody else, at least I could sleep at night. And that's what we would love to be a part of. It. It's a lot easier to work with in the beginning, create the right foundation.
Makes sense.
Build it the right way, use the right solutions, and then you go out, and then, you know, we can come along with you if you'd like. If you don't, if you want to do it yourself, that's fine too. But at least we feel like now you don't have to look back and say, oh, I wish I could have, should have, would have.
Yeah. So
I think that's a good one.
Yeah, and actually, if I could kind of add on to that as well, we've had with one of the clients that we had here, down here in South Florida, we ended up where they were using, like my father mentioned, they were using QuickBooks. And to kind of draw the example of what we ended up doing, we rolled them over to an accounting system specifically for churches, integrated with plenty of different apps and programs, giving programs and everything that were very well known in the industry. We brought them over from that QuickBooks to this new system, which I might have mentioned was called Aplos. And basically what would have been more advantageous would be had we been involved, which it was, this ministry had been growing for many, many years. So, you know, we might have not been Visions Alliance at the time that they started scaling up. But they had grown to multiple locations where they had some all over South Florida. And you're talking, you know, each location of a church, the properties are, you know, seven-figure properties because they're just large churches. They're large, huge assets, basically, real estate assets. And so, but QuickBooks doesn't have all the different accounting aspects of that. So just to get a little nerdy with the accounting, when you get to a certain size, you need to start tracking your fixed assets, which is basically the depreciation on the different buildings and the vehicles and all of that. And most of these ministries aren't doing any of that. And it's it helps you more so with, you know, knowing what you need to upkeep and what you need to continue to maintain and things like that. And the solutions that worked when you were much smaller, when you don't need to do that as much, don't need to do work when you're larger. So getting those much more complex, you know, accounting and financial management systems in place early on are going to help tremendously.
Amen.
Tremendously.
And probably linked to that is, and I know personally of some ministries that have yet to figure out that they're tax exempt. And how to put that together.
True.
You know, they've been paying taxes on church property for a long time.
Very true.
And they need to stop doing that. And would that be part of your advice, advising them is to help get them focused on doing the paperwork and getting all the right things in place?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And in terms of the nuance of the, you know, of the tax filings and everything, all of that, we actually oftentimes will work with you know, if the church has a CPA or ministry has a CPA to kind of just with the compliance aspect, you know, we're kind of more on the advisory side with that. But absolutely, absolutely. Cool. That's definitely something we do.
Yeah, we're coaching them in every aspect of the organization. We're and basically their coach.
That's an important phrase, too, coaching.
I like that phrase, yeah.
Because people need
the guidance.
coaching guidance from people that know what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, I've gotten coaching from people that were clueless. So it didn't help. Listen, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Well, welcome back, and this is The Front Line. We have with us Soren and Matthew Spears, and they are, Soren is the founding partner, and the senior partner is Matthew of Visions Alliance. If you've been listening already, you've heard a lot of really cool things about this, their mission and ministry, and we're going to kind of go delve a little deeper into that. So let's just pick up. We talked during the break about an actual case study that you did on one of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very profound.
Yes.
Would you just address, you don't mention the name of the church, but would you address what happened?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So basically we had a church / ministry in the area that had grown rather significantly over the last several years and had grown especially through COVID. As mm-hmm. you guys can imagine, a lot of things mm-hmm. fell in their favor in the sense of the tuition mm-hmm. reimbursement or the covers that the state provides now. So that, as you guys have probably seen, it's really blown up the private school scene here in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And over the years, as they had grown up to, I think it was about 5 locations in total. And from there, what we had noticed was, I think my father had actually noticed a couple things on his side, more as giving tithe and a couple of other things, some not discrepancies, but a couple things that they needed to iron out. And then after they had pursued actually opening up one of their private school locations, they had reached out to him to help out with the construction side, help out mm-hmm. managing with the budget and things like that. And what we had noticed was, just like my father mentioned, was that the head pastor was just operating off of incorrect data.
Mm-hmm.
And they really just didn't have the right systems in place. Like I had mentioned before a little mm-hmm. bit earlier, you know, or as we had spoken about, QuickBooks, you know, is a big system that has all these issues and things like that, and they had trusted one specific person to handle, unfortunately, all of the different aspects of the financial and the HR and things like that that could really, really kind of steer a ministry wrong. And what we had gone in was first to set up some internal controls, first to set up some of the, open up some of the reporting, dig into some of the numbers, make sure that what the head pastor was being given was actually accurate. And it ended up being kind of an onion that we had unraveled over. It'd be a longer time, but yeah, I'll let my dad speak to some
onions.
Of the
make you
stuff.
Cry when you peel them.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And so did the numbers in this case. No, yeah. just kidding. But I'll let him talk about some of the first steps I took, and then we can talk about kind of how we help them get into the right lane, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, basically, it's kind of like comes back to, you'll hear me use this word a lot, clarity. I got, once we were going through the project, the senior pastor came to me and says, you know, the numbers that are coming out of our private school, I don't really, you know, I don't know if they're right or wrong. Or, So I started kind of said, okay, well, let's see what the reports you have. Let's look at what you have. And first thing I want to do when I come into an organization is, let's get the arms around your cash. Where is your cash? You know, where is it? What bank account is it in? How does it flow in? How does it flow out? Who counts it coming in? Who records it coming in? Who records, who authorizes it going out? And who, explained to him that, told him, Pastor, you need to be in the know, meaning you need to know everything. You need to know what's going out and what's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have to, you know, drop the hammer and not do stuff and not approve stuff, but you just need to at least know. That way you can make the right decision. So we came into this organization and basically brought them, like I said, clarity. We found out they had like 20-some bank accounts. They had 20-some credit cards. So we were like, no, we need to kind of bring that. And that's what happens at a lot of these places.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that, you know, everything was fine. There was no money missed. We went, dug really deep. Nobody did anything wrong. But it was just, nobody had any idea what was going in and nobody had any idea what was going out. And it wasn't anybody's particular fault. It was just that over time, this individual had been entrusted with a job that they had absolutely no experience to do. Mm. Mm-hmm. And instead of raising the hand and say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do this. This is not my, I'm not a heart surgeon, so I'm not going to, you know, go open up your chest and you know, work on your heart.
Yeah.
They just kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they rose in the any organization as, you know, a treasurer. And we just, we worked with the person. We brought in some, you know, another person, a couple of people within the organization and basically put it all together for the ministry. And it was a, you know, like I said, a huge turnaround in only 12 months. But it really just gave the church clarity where they were going, how they were growing, what was working, what was not working, what ministry was working, even though they thought it was, it wasn't, growth. Mm-hmm. So, again, it gave the pastoral staff and the senior leadership a very clear insight to how they were doing. And that allowed them to make decisions moving forward. And that's kind of how we started. And then we got involved from more of, I would say, a higher level accounting. That's what when Matthew brought up about the depreciation and some of the more higher level that the church and the senior leadership had really not been exposed to before. Why do we need to depreciate stuff? You know, what happens? Mm-hmm. And we went kind of taught them those kind of basics. So I think it was a very, very good story. We feel very, very excited and comfortable where we brought them from. I used to work with Matthew and the team. I said, well, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. We gave him, we came in. I'm not saying we fixed them. That's, you know, because we don't make the decision. They do. Mm-hmm. But we gave them clarity. So now we can, they can start making the right decision. And if they follow the procedures and the policies that we put in place, they will be very successful and they don't have to worry about it anymore. Now they can sleep at night because they know that everything's under control. So.
And to kind of dive right into some of the actual levers that we had pulled, so to speak, one of the biggest things that we've found that a lot of either in the ministry side or even just the corporate finance or even the private club side that we work in as well, is that a lot of these leaders of organizations tend to, they either get overwhelmed with everything else going on or they don't understand financials or finances or anything like that, which I would really recommend if anyone's the latter, that they really just need to kind of sit down and just work through some of the basics a little bit, because you really need to know, you know, the cash flowing through the organization is really the lifeblood of it. So you really need to know where the lifeblood is effectively going. And what we found is probably the biggest win right out of the gate for a lot of these leaders is to provide them with some sort of reporting or oversight of the cash that's going out, like my father mentioned. So one of the big, not red flags, but one of the things with the low-hanging fruit that we go in for whenever we're making a change is first provide them with visibility on the credit card statements and things that are actually being charged, as I think my father mentioned they had a bunch of bank accounts. They also had a bunch of authorized users. And we've had a few other clients in the past where, you know, oh, yeah, the credit card is the one over in the drawer over there in the next room. Or, you know, hey, I can't, you know, I can't charge this on my card. Can I borrow yours? And, you know, just all kinds of crazy things that happen. And by providing that to the leaders, say, hey, you know, you guys spent, you know, even carried balances on those credit cards sometimes. You know, oh, yeah, you had $20,000 in interest last month just because you've been carrying this for, you know, several months. A lot of these organizations, they don't realize it's those are holes in the bottom of the bucket that are flowing out, basically.
Absolutely.
And then also with that, one of the biggest things that we've implemented as a system is accounts payable oversight. So basically what we've really seen is that anybody and everybody can order whatever they want at most of these places. And and again, ministry or not, it's any clients that we're working with. By giving the leaders this visibility on invoices that are coming in or, you know, hey, I didn't know we had this landscaper that was coming in. It's wintertime. There's snow on the ground. Why on earth do we pay the guy that's mowing our lawns? I mean, you would be shocked at what's out there. And it's just, and, you know, you dig into it, somebody's on auto pay. And you know, it's not as much nefarious activity as we've seen, but it's just nobody's watching effectively.
Neglect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we've seen that by even just implementing some sort of a workflow where somebody requests it, then maybe the second in command reviews it, approves it, and then the head of the organization reviews it and approves it. Now you have three people that know where these funds are going. And so if you need to start cutting costs or you realize you don't need something or anything like that, that ends up being a huge win right out of the gate. And so that was probably one of our first aspects that was just a massive, massive win. And just knowing, like my father mentioned earlier, knowing what money's coming in and what money's going out is just a huge, as simple as it sounds, it's not happening very often. Mm. And it's just something to focus on.
And there's some of these larger churches, larger organizations, might have access to a lot of cash. Let's say you have mm-hmm. a lot of money coming in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens? Is it just going to sit in an account, not mm-hmm. making you any interest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We come in with we will help any organization, the church, to come up with a cash management strategy, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, money goes in this bucket, it earns interest, then it comes over to this bucket where mm-hmm. when you need it, there's mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. So we will help as well, you know, manage whatever money the church does raise.
Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I would say I'm speaking now of myself and my peers. Apparently, yeah, oh, yes, thank you. And is my other part of the brain.
I'm sorry.
No.
We want to open up the phone.
If you wanted to call and ask a question of either Matthew or Soren, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I do encourage you to call. Mm-hmm. If you have a question that something's popped up. So what I was going to say is that, again, I haven't been to every seminary on the planet. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that.
Really, David? Just kidding.
I went to a mainline seminary, and, you know, most of the way that seminarians are taught doesn't change much, you mm-hmm. know, maybe some doctrinal things here and there, mm-hmm. but at no point in my experience, my training in seminary, did they ever cover financial management in mm-hmm. the congregational setting.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean some don't. I'm not saying, but I'm saying mostly from my experience and talking to my peers over the years about that, as I became more aware of the need, they didn't know it either. And I was, last part of my early life, I did a property accounting with Kraft Foods. They had a plant in Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, very cool.
And so that was part of my job. So I got to learn how to do accounting and how to do books and all this stuff. So I was fairly knowledgeable of that in general. But the second church I went to was actually a campus ministry in Gainesville. And I was only two staff members, me and the secretary who did all the work, who was leaving on maternity leave. And there's no question if she'd be back or not. So I looked at, she told me about the books and how things were handled, and red flags were all over the field. So the church I came from, I called the treasurer, who was a CPA, and I said, his name was Wally Fletcher, lovely God, he's with Jesus now, probably handling books, forgive me. But Wally, I said, Wally, I'm over my head, can you help me? He said, yeah, come down, spend a few days with me, I'll teach you how to do church accounting. And he did, and when I came back, it was even worse, the red flags to see. I went through all the books and everything, but because of what he taught me, I was, in my prior experience, I was able to find out what was happening and how to fix. We had holes. It was a little bucket, but we had holes in it. People that had charge accounts, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't know what they were doing, and sometimes I think they were getting stuff for themselves. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so on a smaller scale, I began to see that. But now what I'm really moving to is, one of the things in seminary they told me is pastors should not be handling money. Mm. Pastors should not be handling money. Pastors should be aware of what's going on. I mean, you have to help be good stewards, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And the senior pastor has that primary role. But do not handle money. Get people that can. And fortunately, in about 3 years, I was able to find someone that was retiring from an accounting job. Mm-hmm. So I could pass that on. But it seems to me one of the bigger problems, and it's not indicting pastors at all, but most of us don't understand accounting. Mm-hmm. We're visionaries, let's say. Yeah. That's what we're called. We're called to teach, preach, bring people to Christ, help people bring people to Christ, mm-hmm. equip the saints for the work of the church. But that we don't have the essential tools to grasp mm-hmm. what's going on, especially if you're a pastor in a larger church.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, because of that, because I really want to talk again about Visions Alliance, talk for a minute about the fractional CFO. What is that all about?
excuse me. One of the things for a church to hire what I would call a full-time CFO, somebody that really knows what systems to put in place, somebody of the, I would call on a, with the experience that I think every church deserves, mm-hmm. is it's very expensive. You're talking mid- to high, you know, six figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. So what we came up with, our thought is, and it, it's proven to be very successful because we're doing very well, mm-hmm. is that what if you as a customer, mean or a client, could get the benefit and gain the benefit of what I call a full CFO, full director of finance, but without having to pay that high price? Because it's kind of like pay as you go, I call it. It's almost mm-hmm. like you pay as you go.
Like if, my project, yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you want, we charge by the hour, just so you know. That's we come in, okay. we don't charge fee up front. We don't charge this every monthly fee. We don't charge a retainer like attorneys normally do. Mm-hmm. We just charge by the hour. So if it takes mm-hmm. you 5 hours a month, mm-hmm. it's 5 hour times our fee. Mm-hmm. So what that allows even a smaller church or even a smaller organization to bring us in mm-hmm. and have us spend some time developing some very basic principles mm-hmm. at a very affordable price instead of spending,
yeah.
like I said, a top CFO will make close to $200,000 a year. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can bring up, I mean, most of our clients, we charge $3,000 to $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big activity.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is affordable, very affordable.
Very affordable. Mm-hmm. It's what I feel is that's where the word fractional comes in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is you only pay for a fraction of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that for us, it really works well. And it kind of, in our ministry, what we're trying to do is allows us to help everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a congregation with 300 members or mm-hmm. 5,000 members or 10,000 members, whatever it is we can help you. And it's affordable to everybody. It goes as kind of a pay-as-you-go. And we mm-hmm. feel like the resources and the information that we can and the tools we can arm you with
mm-hmm.
Is well worth it, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. But I think it's very, mm-hmm. very affordable for everybody.
Yeah, and I think we had alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show was the coaching aspect mm-hmm. that we have. I tend to find that's a lot more specifically our firm, not just the fractional CFO concept, mm-hmm. because a lot of the companies out there that do fractional CFO, they might even do nonprofits, tend to just be, here's your person, they're going to make sure your books look okay, and then you're good
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
What we found is, it's funny what you said before about pastors don't really know the business side of it as mm-hmm. well, and maybe in some ways shouldn't be handling it day to day, of course, just because it's just accounting is accounting. It's a different kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
What we want is, what the pastors are called to do is a whole different thing than to sit there and worry about what should be a debit, what should be a credit, and, how much mm-hmm. cash they're going to have in 6 months and those kinds of things. Those should be some sort of a business manager, a CFO in our case, that's helping them, helping guide them through that. But that coaching aspect and teaching them what they need to be working on and teaching them what they need to be looking at is a huge thing for us. And we found, I've actually heard it, the same kind of statement for any kind of a professional industry. I know they always talk about lawyers, hey, you know how to practice law, but you don't know how to run a firm.
Yeah.
Same thing with doctors, you know how to make sick people well, but you don't know how to run a medical practice. And it happens all the time. Yeah.
And
so what we found is by being able to help coach all of our clients in this way, we can help bring them to at least understanding the big key aspects. Because one thing that I've found, for instance, closing the books for the month. I've found it very odd, in my opinion, that outside of maybe the private clubs and a few of the corporate finance side clients that we have, there's not a specific event to actually sit down, an actual appointment between the finance person and the head of that organization to sit down and say, okay, last month is now closed. We've made sure that what you said on the statement has the same amount of cash that the bank statement says, and then all those checks and balances. Because if you can get into that process, you now know you have your finger on the pulse of the organization. Same with when you tie that in with the accounts payable parts that we had talked about and the different workflows. So what we found is just at least in our company and the way that we operate is that coaching aspect is the actual quote unquote competitive advantage, I would say, because we come from more of a background of, I'm sure everybody knows the wonderful reputation that accountants have at times. Very personable, bubbly people all the time. So basically what we've found is my father and I, coming from that teaching and that coaching perspective, mm-hmm. we're actually more on the side of the operators. We just happen to know the financial side as well, of course. And by working from both of those, we can help guide and lead each of our clients across that finish line.
And that coaching aspect makes me think that in almost any church, if you sat down with the pastor and the board of deacons or the vestry or whatever mm-hmm. that lay group is that actually works on the business side of things, and you asked them about the future of that congregation, they would all mostly have some things to say about, well, we hope to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, we may need to move and get more property, build bigger buildings. Or we have the property. We know that the existing structures may be inadequate down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they can know that much. But can you, and I'm just going to ask, I think you can, that's why I'm asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
But in your coaching,
mm-hmm.
When you can bring them into a discussion of that particular issue, can you begin to help them lay the groundwork for the future in terms of the financial side mm-hmm. of growth? You know, for instance, even just if you can help, and I've been in churches and I've talked to pastors, well, the church is, we built this church 20 years ago and now the roof is needing to be replaced and, you know, we don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And like the joke about the pastor that stood up one Sunday and he said, well, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is we have money for the roof. The bad news is it's still in your wallets. And that is often
yep.
the case with churches. Mm-hmm. And they hit the need. Man, the roof's leaking. What are we going to do?
Yep.
Absolutely. And it's not just the roof. It's the AC.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a lifespan that's still coming to an end. You know, and there's just so many other things.
And we all know those happen on the same day.
Yeah,
whenever
they do.
You don't need them to happen.
They absolutely do. So, I mean, in terms of coaching, how can that coaching now help that church down the road to meet those needs?
Mm-hmm.
A perfect example, and it goes back to what Matthew said about, like, let's say the fixed assets. We can create what we call a reserve study. The reserve study basically goes in and looks at every asset the church owns. It comes back with a report and says that, let's say, like, this pencil, you know, they just bought it yesterday, so it mm-hmm. should have about a 5-year life on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 5 years, we need to replace it. Mm-hmm. So it's a reserve study that goes back and says, what should you be expecting for the next 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we can give the foundation to this senior leadership. So, okay, here's what you see, what we see coming up
mm-hmm.
next year, every single year of what you should start thinking about on what we call the obligatory capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
Obligatory means it's going to go bad. It's the roof. It's the front door that needs repair. It's mm-hmm. the flooring, the carpet. And you have to think out, how do we set aside reserves for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have what we call the aspirational capital, meaning that mm-hmm. we really want to add that wing over here. We want to grow the church. We want to, you know, remodel everything because it really needs to look fresher. Then we come up with what we call a capital plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. We came up and we proposed that to an organization. It's called, especially in lending group within the organization. We all know that there are some members of churches that might be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
They might have access to a significant amount of assets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what about setting up a lending group where congregation members can, let's say, buy a certificate? And instead of going to a bank and having to borrow, you know, whatever, let's say $1 million, wouldn't it be nice if you went out to the congregation and says, we want to borrow from you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pay you back. So instead of you putting, let's say, $500 or $5,000 into a CD at the bank
mm-hmm.
or buy a stock or something, wouldn't it be nice, or would you be willing to invest in your ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that very successful where mm-hmm. members say, well, yeah, if you could pay me like 5%, we'd rather pay the congregation 5% than paying Wells Fargo 5%,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
been very successful, specifically because, you know, churches have members that have
mm-hmm.
A significant wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and instead of having to kind of put it in there and might never see it again, if you said, well, we will pay it back instead of having to go to a third party. That's just one go to a third. Something that we would have, but yes, we can do these really long-term capital, 5-10 years out, and we can, again, give clarity to the leadership of the church of what they should be expecting. So it doesn't suddenly show up and, you know, we've never fixed the air conditioner. The roof's going to leak. Well, I didn't know. So we have a lot of experience in that, absolutely.
And that's something to help because that's most in the pastors that are in smaller churches, and they know what their income is, and they don't even want to think about well, if I put a reserve for this, that, and the other,
it takes away from whatever.
And they don't, and I guess they just need to see the bigger picture and have someone that can help them to do all of that because it's doable.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And to even, you had mentioned that they hope that things will work down the road. I don't remember who I'm borrowing this concept from, but you know, they say hope is not a strategy for the financial side. Now,
of course,
you know, we all have faith that God's going to provide.
Amen.
So, you know,
Amen.
Take that with a grain of salt. But in terms of, he also asks, or he also calls on us to be good stewards of the funds that are coming through the ministry. So, with that in mind, of course, you know, you want to be able to have that projection, the future sight of what's going to be coming down the road. And absolutely, I would actually say, in terms of the future planning of the ministry in, mm-hmm. in that regard, is actually probably a little bit more in the strong suit of what we mm-hmm. provide as these consultants, because for us, it's not worth it for the ministry nor even ourselves to sit there and worry about the debits and credits. We actually will typically work with whoever's there on site and help coach and guide them up to the daily, weekly, monthly accounting aspects. But then from there, what we do is we act as more of a partner with the head of the ministry, whether it's the head pastor, whomever it might be, and help coach them through those different aspects. Because, I mean, I think there was even one that there are a few that we've actually sat in on where we found out their insurance coverage was nowhere near what they actually needed to have.
Ooh, and that's a big deal.
As you can imagine, some of these, again, more on the outside of ministry, but you know, you can come into something where you might need a director's and officer's insurance or something like that, and you have somebody that might be on a board or something like that that's of significant wealth, and you look over and you say, oh yeah, how much do you guys have? Oh yeah, we have $500,000 in coverage. Well, that's one slip and fall. I'm sorry, but that's not going to cover you.
So,
kind of having eyes on all those different aspects of the business and the ministry is what is actually our quote unquote bread and butter. Amen. I would say
absolutely. And at no point along the way, for some listeners are saying, "What about faith?" You know, faith is integral. It's foundational mm-hmm. in doing ministry. Yes. At the same time, the Lord expects His people to
practical.
Be good stewards.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to go and when I pray, you know, as when I was pastoring churches, and my prayers were always, yeah, Lord, we have faith. You'll lead us, guide us, send your spirit, open doors, close doors, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, help us to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
exactly. we're accountable to you for the stewardship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but the testimony to the people.
Exactly.
As far as good stewardship is powerful in and of itself.
Right.
It's all of a piece.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We're not disparaging faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you give us, we have to get their website, because I don't
Yes,
think
I wanted to ask you, we have a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
Tell us how people can get in touch with you.
Yes, of course. So our website is visionsalliance.net. So visionsalliance.net. Just remember, it's the visions, multiple with an S in there. Sometimes people get caught up on that. But our phone number is 772-255-4567.
That's great. And of course, all that contact information is on the website,
mm-hmm.
visionsalliance.net.
Yes.
Encourage. Now, you're up there in Vero.
Yes.
So you're kind of central to our coverage area anyway, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But people call and make an appointment. They come to you, or will you go to them, or how do you work that?
Traditionally, we go to them.
Mm-hmm.
We meet with them because we like to meet with them in their environment
because
it gives us a better chance to get our arms around where they're at, what their needs are quicker than meeting them at our office. So, yes,
makes
we will
sense.
Come to
That's
them.
Nice.
Definitely come
yeah.
to them.
So you walk in an office and there's bags of cash sitting against the wall.
Exactly.
Kind of gives you an idea
yeah.
what's
oh,
going
they
on.
They need a lot of help.
These boxes have all the cash in them.
Oh, okay, boy. That's most of the churches I've been in, that's not been the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
At any rate, I'm so thankful you guys could come.
Yeah.
It was really
thank you for having us.
A blessing to you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you know, well, I do believe so many of our guests have such a substance of offering that we couldn't cover everything today.
No, yeah.
So I suspect you'll be invited back.
Absolutely.
You know, come and join us and offer more, because it's like, you know, there are some things that people need to know. And as a radio program or as a radio station, mm-hmm. we broadcast 24/7, but, you know, our content changes. And you missed it today. Someone that missed this program, even though it's on demand, but we'd like have to bring you back so they can hear what you have to say. It helps so many people. And we also should say the Visions Alliance is not just for churches or ministries in general. For any secular, business that needs that kind of help.
Absolutely.
Especially on what I might start.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have it all, you know.
Absolutely.
And I would need somebody to step in and has the gifts that I don't have.
Absolutely.
So Soren and Matthew, thank you. God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And listeners, again, it's visionsalliance.net, and you'll get all your contact information there. Plus, a really helpful downloadable PDF gives you an overview of what they do.
Yes.
And at this point, I have to say thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.